Hello, everybody. My name is Eduardo Ariño de la Rubia. I'm the Vice President of Product and Data Scientist in Residence at Domino Data Lab. And today we're going to talk about providing digital provenance and what that means and why you should care. But first, I'm going to talk about me, because that's my favorite topic. I've been programming for what is now an embarrassingly long time. I started developing software in 1982 when computers were itty-bitty and comprehensible. But above all things, I'm a husband and I'm a father, and I live in lovely Santa Monica, California. And more importantly, I'm a dog owner. So if by any chance y'all want to talk about dogs instead of digital provenance, I have a way better presentation about dogs. Okay, I didn't think so. Oh well, we'll muddle through this one instead. So what is digital provenance? It's kind of funny. So I started researching this topic, and I was surprised at how much people talk about provenance in lots of fields where really it doesn't actually, it's not life and death decisions that you need to prove provenance, right? Like, it really matters for a sculpture, or it really matters for a bottle of wine. But digital provenance, I think, is something that is going to really be at the forefront of importance as more and more decisions become the output of data generating processes being fed into machine learning models. Digital provenance is capturing sort of where the data came from, what the transforms that happened to that data are, and being able to point at any one place to basically how did we get from this data set to this model in production to this decision that was made, et cetera. One thing that I really loved was that in the Wikipedia page, it was like, digital provenance is easy. You just set files to read only. And that just cracked me up. I was like, this is clearly like a brand newish field when like people are like, oh, it's a trivial problem. Like, why are you even talking about this? Just set files to read only and you're totally set. I don't actually think that that's an end-to-end solution that would like stand up. So let's motivate this talk a bit. Why do you care about digital provenance? Well, you care because machine learning encodes biases just by itself. Like, without you trying, the data you're capturing has a bias. It has a bias that reflects the systemic bias in your culture, the bias of the sensors that you've used to pick up that data. There's bias we can't get away from. But then it's also important because it's really easy to put a machine learning method into production that is explicitly racist, that is explicitly sexist. You can do that, and you can hide that in production. You can train a model that has a proxy variable for, you know, is African American, for is woman, and suddenly magically, oh, you're not allowed to have that mortgage. Oh, we passed you over for this promotion. This is going to matter. Well, this matters today a lot in some industries. This matters a lot in insurance and in finance. I think that I have seen the future. I think in the future, ML is going to sort of force our hand on so many things that you're going to have to be able to prove that you did your best to control for these systemic biases in society, and on top of that, that you were a good person who explicitly did not code bias into your ML algorithm. And you're going to have to do that from the moment that the data hits disk, through modeling, through productionalization, and you're going to have to be able to prove that the doohickey that is actually giving out a credit score is really the doohickey that you claim you trained on this data set, where you are actually really trying your darndest to make sure that bias didn't cause harm. One thing I wanted to say is that the R community is amazing, because really the R community is pushing reproducibility. And reproducibility is wonderful, and reproducibility is a component of provenance. But reproducibility is not provenance. Reproducibility gives you the tools to say that following this process, a thing could be made that may look like this thing that is actually in production. And it gives you the tools to sort of be able to walk into different stages of the process and be able to reproduce it. Two packages that come to mind, like Knitter is amazing. Like, just who here has used Knitter? Yeah, all of you. Fantastic. But you know that Knitter is just showing you how the recipe of steps that were taken to make a thing. It doesn't tie that thing to the model in production. Packrat, by the way, I'm a huge fan of, who here has used Packrat? Okay, the rest of you need to get on it. PackRat is amazing. And it really, it lets you know that you're controlling the environment, that you know that these modules, that you, these packages that you use were the packages that were used. But again, it's a small snapshot of the reality. It just captures the environment that was used to build a specific thing. So what makes good provenance? If it isn't just using Knitter or isn't just using PackRat, what do you need? Well, for good provenance, it needs to have a bunch of attributes. So we're going to talk about the attributes real quick. It needs to be unique, right? You need to actually be able to prove that the thing you're talking about is the thing that is. It needs to be unambiguous. You need to be able to prove that the way that you got to the thing that is actually like a traceable and ambiguous series of steps. It needs to be concise. You need to be able to talk about it in a short way. It turns out that if your provenance is, here's the 500,000 pages of logs that may have generated this thing, that's not particularly useful. It needs to be repeatable or reproducible. You should be able to see how things happened. And it needs to be comprehensible. It needs to be understandable. Just to really drive the point home, uniqueness is important. I love this tweet, the classic data set we all love to analyze, you know, data.csv. You need to be able to prove that that data.csv is different from this data.csv. And there's some fantastic tools in R that let you do that, like I think it's Dirk's digest package that does a fantastic job of letting you do that. You need to, like I said, it needs to be unambiguous. it turns out that ambiguity is everywhere, right? Like, I mean, Wittgenstein, you know, there is no problems in philosophy, there's only problems in language. Well, once you actually take that extra step to computer systems, it's the problem of the interpretation of the language. You need to be able to give, and I'm stepping ahead, identifiers that actually, like, have no ambiguity. The thing you clicked is the thing that is. It needs to be concise. It needs to be repeatable. Again, this is I love this, you know, this XKCD-like thing. It turns out, like I said, PackRat does a good job, but it turns out that if you're originally doing things in PackRat on an Ubuntu box, and then your production box is a CentOS 6.5 box, and one time you had Atlas, and another time you had MKL, it turns out stuff isn't actually repeatable. It turns out the world is not that kind to us. And it needs to be comprehensible. I live in Los Angeles. This is a standard... just sort of thing. If it's not comprehensible, then nobody's going to be able to use it. The world already has sort of an irreducible complexity about it, and it's important that we don't add to that pile. You know, whenever it is that you're trying to prove digital provenance, you need to actually make sure that somebody can follow the chain from data set all the way through production. How am I doing on time? So, I work for a company that builds a thing, but I'm going to tell you how to build your own thing yourself. So if you want to make a digital provenance system, it's really straightforward. All you need to do is you need to capture all the data, all the transforms. You need to capture all of the compute state, by which I mean literally everything that ran in the pipeline. You need to be able to capture it somewhere. Everything that, every transform that happens needs a globally unique identifier, and you need to be able to assign the thing that is to the globally unique identifier that identifies the thing. Then you need to capture the pipeline of things that happened and the globally unique identifiers and assemble it together in a way that is fully reproducible. And then along the way, every time that something happens, so if you got a data set and you downloaded it from your database, you need to stamp, this is the SHA-1 sum for that. When you transform it from 2 terabytes of data that clearly you're going to need Spark to handle to 10 megabytes of data you really actually care about, boom, SHA-1, you need to stamp that, because at all of those points, you need to prove that that data is truly the thing that is and that you're not going in and monkeying behind the scenes. And all that you need to do is you just need to build a build system, something, a continuous integration system, a version control system, a workflow management system, a container orchestration infrastructure, a collaboration system, and a search system. And you just need to put that all together, and you will get a digital provenance system. That's a bunch of stuff to do. So, oh, what are you doing to me, computer? Okay. Well, there's a slide here that is loading, so let's actually... I'll tell you, so this slide tells you that Domino Data Lab does that. So, I can't believe it, how dare you. It's truly, this is fantastic. So what Domino Data Lab has done is we do that. Basically, we have a provenance capture system, and that provenance capture system, every time you execute something, it happens in our reproducibility engine. Our reproducibility engine is implemented in Docker. So literally, every time you run something, we spin up a Docker box, we capture standard in, we capture standard out, we capture the CPU time, we capture the memory, and we write it in write once, read many storage. So that means that you can't go back and you can't like fiddle with it. And we make sure that it's encrypted on disk, it's encrypted on transit, and all of that stuff. Thank you. So let's go to the live demo portion. Considering what just happened in my previous slide, I'm really curious to see how this live demo is going to go. So I'm actually not going to do a live demo. I'm going to go off my screenshots, if that's OK with everybody. Let's see if they load. So this is Domino. In Domino, you've got projects. Projects have files. This is just a retrain.r script, right? So this is a straightforward thing in your pipeline. You've got data coming in, and you're training a machine learning model. So what are you doing here? You're training your model. You're saving off the iris data, you know, as an RDA. You're spitting out the digest, and you're doing a thing called update version. What this is doing, oh, I hope this comes up, is in your logs, you're going to see the SHA-1 digest for that object in memory and what it was, and you're actually updating the CRAN package description to let you know that, hey, when this thing was built with this exact run number, which is a globally unique identifier, which points to the exact thing that happened, again, inside of our reproducibility engine, so that anytime you have this package, this R package that is in production somewhere, you can just look at the description file and you have a unique identifier to the run that actually built the thing. Does that make sense? Okay, some nodding, good enough. It's repeatable. What I mean here is you have a literal, it's a system of record. Every time you've built a thing, it writes it down and you can go back and this is standard out and you can see, yes, when we ran this thing this morning when I was preparing my presentation, you can see that there's the digest of exactly what the thing it is that ran is. You can go back and you can look at every single time that you did this and you can see exactly what the chain of provenance was for every model that was built. This is the object file. So this is the RDA file. It is important because, again, the provenance is linked right there. You can see that this file, this RDA, was generated in run number 10. You can click on that, and you can look at all of the log files, and you can see the digest, and you can actually verify when you look at the server that the model's in production. You can say, yes, this SHA-1 is the same as this SHA-1. We can say with some level of certainty, because stuff is written in a write once, read many storage, that nobody's monkeyed with it, that we can prove that this model that was trained actually was built on this system at this time with these inputs. For your model in production, this is a thing that you can actually host models in production inside of Domino, but this could be literally anywhere. Whenever it is that you load that model, you can just spit out the digest again, and that will absolutely tell you. So here it is. You're publishing the model. You can look at the logs, and it shows you that here it is where I have unambiguous and concise. It was built at this time. This is the URL. You can click on it, and you get the entire provenance chain for this particular model that is in production by clicking there. So again, this is a combination of the build system and the version control system coming together and basically writing it out to disk, annotating the artifact, and now you have basically this entire chain, and you can take this model and put it anywhere, and you will always be able to trace it back to where it is that it came from. My one challenge is that it's not really comprehensible, right? You need to be trained on it. You need to understand that that's the case. If any of you has a fantastic idea on how to make it comprehensible, I'm totally hiring product people. So talk to me afterwards. So that's my presentation. If you have any questions, you can go to dominodatalab.com and you can ask me now. And that's how I think you do digital provenance. Thank you. So that's so one way to implement this, like let's say you hate me and you're like, that dude stinks, I don't want to give his company money. So what you can do is you can hook up Travis CI and you can hook up something like Docker Compose. And what you can do is you can use Travis CI to spin up Docker Compose jobs. You submit your jobs to Travis CI. It actually builds it. It annotates everything. And then you've got a record. Travis CI records aren't like cryptographically indelible. So it's a trade-off. I mean, I'm sure you could do it, right? Like if you're a smart person, what you do is at the end of the build, you actually like have a key somewhere that you've stored and you actually use an R package to like encrypt it and send it off to a different system. So absolutely, you can totally do it with like Travis CI, Docker Compose, and a little bit of magic glue. Are you asking about Domino Data Lab? Yeah, thank you. Domino is a commercial piece of software. We deploy one of three ways. There's a cloud version. You can just go to dominodatalab.com, get an account. I'll tell you a little secret. We're like, oh, you'll totally shut off your runs after 15 minutes. We won't. Like, you can just run stuff. Don't tell anybody. A lot of our customers are large corporations, so they want stuff like installed on premises or in their VPC. That's the much more commercial offering. I'm not sure that I understand. So are you asking me if you're retraining models, how do you? So if you're using a Travis CI solution or if you're using Domino, basically the entire process is fully automated. So every time, so in Domino, you can set it to retrain every N hours or every N records or something like that. And what it actually does is it walks through the entire chain. It says, what is the chain to get from data set to train model? It builds it. It actually does the cryptographic stamping with every single run. Every run gets its own globally unique identifier. And then the package description is automatically updated using the update description function so that every new model gets that information and it's always traceable all the way back. Yeah, so once you've got the actual R package, like that's a distributable thing, but it comes with a description file, right? Even if you don't have the description file, even if you're just shipping off the RDA file, since you've got the SHA-1, right, you can always just SHA-1 the RDA file and then actually just search the Domino system for that SHA-1 string. Since SHA-1 strings are pretty much guaranteed to be unique, you can always be like, this RDA file that is just like randomly sitting out here in space, this is the run that generated it. I'm not a scientist. My theory, my wife is, and from what I understand, there's a pretty big crisis in reproducibility in science, and it's misaligned incentives, right? There's this publish or perish sort of culture where I don't think anyone is like, oh, well, I need to publish a paper, but gosh, my digital chain of provenance isn't particularly great. I think this is going to be needed. What I think is going to eventually happen is eventually systems like this, if I'm lucky, it's Domino. If I'm not lucky, it's Travis CI plus scripts that Tal writes, is going to become the standard. And it's just going to become, it's kind of like right now if you get an NSF grant, some percentage of your money has to go for public outreach. It's just going to be the same thing. Some percentage of your grant is going to have to be towards providing a provenance. Because if you've got digital provenance in 3/4 of your pipeline, that means that another researcher can come in and they can actually understand, well, how did we get to this point? And I think it'll be something that really advances the state of science. Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.